Good morning. Welcome to Amherst Baptist Church. It's good to have you all with us this morning. Great crowd this morning, and we are looking forward to something a little different today. Normally, when there are months that have five Sundays, the last week of those 5 weeks is what we call Celebration Sunday. We have an opportunity for people to share testimonies and so forth. This month, the fifth Sunday, happens to be Easter, and we don't want to use that week to do Celebration Sunday, so we're doing it today. So if you're a guest with us this morning and don't know what we're talking about, you're about to find out. We have opportunities, and there's about four people who have specifically said they'd like to share a testimony this morning. We've just finished a church-wide Bible study called Promises Kept, as we've looked at covenants through the Old Testament, Adam and Abraham and Moses and David, and what's called the New Covenant. And then we talked about the Passover and the Exodus, how God has delivered his people. He's provided Christ's blood to cover us over so that the punishment that we are due passes over us as well. And so we've talked about all that, and so those folks who have been part of that study in particular would like to share, tell how they've experienced it, what they gained, how God has taught them, how they've grown. And so we're going to share those testimonies as we go through the day, through the service. If there are others of you who have testimony, if we have time, there might be a time when I say anyone else. Just get your hand up quickly so we can bring a microphone to you and you can share. Those who have offered to bring testimony, I'm going to ask you guys to come down front here so that everybody can see. Another special thing we're going to do today, normally after our service, we have what's called DNA, discussion and application. Just go with it. Discussion and application. Opportunity for us to discuss what we've heard in the message. And normally, most weeks, we would do that for all ages. Younger classes actually have Sunday school. We have classes for everyone. This Sunday is a little bit different, again, in that we have Kayla Gilliam here. She has been overseas in the Middle East for a number of months, and she's planning to go back to the Middle East in just a couple months. And so during our DNA time, we're going to ask that you just stay here. If you've got kids in the nursery, maybe you go get them and come back. But generally, we want to stay till about, I don't know, 10 till 5 till noon, because the Blagodat, the Russian-speaking congregation, comes in at noon. And so we'll clear out by then. And if we just move out into the lobby and stay for fellowship, that's great, but they need the sanctuary at that time. So I want you to know, this Celebration Sunday is different than normal. If you're a guest with us, this is not what we do every week, but we do try to do it about four times a year, and today is the day. You just heard right, today is the day. So we're doing it today. Welcome. If you are a guest with us this morning, it's good to have you. Good to see you, Phil. Good to have all of you with us. If you are a guest, there is a card in the rack ahead of you. It says, please let us get to know you. And we would love to have some information, contact, an email or a phone number or text that we could just connect with you this week. If you have any questions about the church, that's the only way we can follow up with you, is if you give us that kind of contact information. We'd love to be able to do that. If you're online with us this morning through Facebook, if you're on Facebook, you can leave a message for on Facebook. My wife is out in the lobby keeping track of those kind of things. If you have a prayer concern, please share that with us. If you have a prayer concern, that same card on the backside is a prayer request form. You can either hand that to me during the service or take it out to Laura, and at the end of the service, we'll pray for those things as well. So you're welcome here. You're welcome to share prayer concerns. If you're online but don't have Facebook, you can text me. You ready? 716-984-2304. Send me a text and we'll share those prayer concerns as well. We do have a couple this morning. Steve Roberts is out sick, I'll say. Very dizzy this morning. He spent some time in the the emergency room night before last because of great pain in his neck. And so we'll pray for him. We have some others today that we'll share as we go along, as we pray for folks and as we share these testimonies. With all of that, let's pray for this morning's offering. Now, we don't pass offering plates generally for the offering. There are offering boxes at the doors if you'd like to give that way. Many people now give online. However you'd like to do it, if you'd like to do it, do what God calls you to do. But we'd like to take time during the service to recognize that that's part of our worship as well. As we give, we're returning to God part of what he's given us, because everything we have is from him. And so let's take a moment to thank him for those. Lord God, we thank you that you are gracious to us. You've called us together this morning to worship you, to hear from one another, to be encouraged and built up, even to bear with one another as you've brought us together in unity. We pray that our hearts would be hungry for you, and that your Spirit would be here to feed us, to transform us into the image of Christ as you desire. We thank you for all that you've given us, and in response, we return what you tell us to, an offering, a tithe. Whatever you've laid on our hearts, Lord, we want to be obedient to that and faithful, and we pray that you would use those resources for your glory, not for the glory of Amherst Baptist or our association or anything like that, but for your glory. And so we pray that you would multiply it to accomplish great things, to bring glory to your name, and to bring those who are far from you to you, that they might be reconciled to you, even as you've reconciled us by forgiving our sins through the Passover blood of Jesus Christ. So we pray for our time together, that it would be glorifying, it would be joyful for you, that you would enjoy our time together, even as we desire to enjoy our time together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So during the service time, there's going to be times where we hear a testimony, and then we're going to, Anne, if you wouldn't mind coming forward, we're going to hear a testimony and maybe another, or we'll pray for someone, and then we'll sing another song. And so we just ask that you'd be flexible and understand that we're trying to get everybody a chance to see what God is doing among us and then respond in worship. So Anne is going to share with us this morning. Should be good.
Good morning. As Pastor Scott just mentioned about our study that we had, our six-week studies about the covenants and also about the New Testament, the New Covenant, rather, and also about Passover. And I was so thrilled to learn more about Passover. I know we all know about Passover, but this time with our study, It seemed to mirror back, or forward rather, to the time of Jesus' death and resurrection, and it was so real to me. Well, the first thing I learned was about the lamb that they were using to sacrifice during Passover, and one of the things was it had to be a 1 year old, and it reminded us also of John the Baptist when he saw Jesus coming to him, and he says, "Look, the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world." Only he did not have any sins. He was a perfect lamb for us. The second thing that it really reminded me that the lamb had to be without any things, thank you, folks. It had to be a clean lamb, and had to not have any defects, and so they took the lamb. They picked the lamb on the 10th day of Nisan, and they brought it home, the lamb, and stayed with the family, and they watched it, they loved on it. And they reminded me the 10th day of Nisan, Jesus came into Jerusalem, and he was cheered, "Hosanna, Hosanna, the Lord is here." And then he went to the temple, and in the temple, they questioned him, they interrogated him, the Pharisees, everyone just tried to find some fault in him. And at the end it said he had no fault. He was a pure Lamb of God. The other thing that that I picked, and it was like a little nugget, the ninth thing that happened in when they were all these what are they? the ninth thing that happened in Egypt.
The ninth plague,
thank you. I'm losing it. The ninth plague, when they had 3 days of total darkness, okay? When Jesus was on the cross, he had 3 hours of total darkness. And just the mirror of what happened in the Passover and what happened with Jesus' death and crucifixion and resurrection. So I say all this to tell you that for me, I would not have studied all these things without the Bible study that Scott and Eric would ask questions at the end. And so I researched a lot of this stuff for myself. I mean, there was lots more than what I've said. But I just want to say thank you for the pastors that have this insight to make us grow a little bit and search things out. And then you understand it more. And I say it's my little nugget of gold that I cherish because of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Ann. So that's our sermon for the day. No, just kidding. Just kidding. You did a great job, Ann. And if you can't do what Ann just did, I mean, she had her notes here. She didn't look at them, if you noticed. Great job. But if you can't do that, don't worry about it. That's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for someone who's a public speaker. We're looking for someone who's been moved by God, is learning new things, and is willing to share, that we all might be encouraged to grab those little nuggets and to grasp them and grow from them. And so I encourage you to be involved in Bible study. That's what is part of the reason I've asked for these kind of testimonies, just to encourage you. Say, there's really room for me to grow. There's really room for me to maybe spend a little more time in prayer, a little more time in the Word or whatever, so that I can grow and I can come away, not so I can pat myself on the back, but that I might know God more. And that's really where we're trying to get to. Our Thursday night Bible study, we see in Romans 15 that God's goal for us is that we bring glory to Him as a united body. And so our Celebration Sunday is part of that process. Let me take a moment to pray for a couple issues that I'm aware of this morning, and then we'll do another song, and then we'll have at least one or two more testimonies at that time. But let's pray for Steve, and then pray for our time together again. As you get a grasp of what this is, open your heart to what God wants to teach you. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. We do pray for Steve and his pain, that you would relieve it. The dizziness that he's feeling this morning that might even be due to the medication that he's on for the pain. Lord, it piles up sometimes. And so I pray that you would bring relief, that you would continue to show yourself faithful in Steve's life and in others as well. For his ongoing pain problems with his back and his neck and his mobility issues that are related to that, we thank you for his diligence to serve here. He was here all week working. And so we thank you for that effort, and we pray that you might bless him this morning with good health, that you would restore him in such a way that he's better now than he was a week ago or a year ago, strong to serve you and bring you glory. We pray for our time together that our hearts really would be open. We really would be hungry to hear what it is you have to say to us about what our next steps might be in pursuing you, and that we would be, even at this moment, committed to follow. Before you even tell us what it is we're supposed to do, we pray that we would be committed to it. We're in, Lord, and we thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned Steve was here all this week working. He was preparing for what we had was sort of a cleanup day yesterday. There's stuff up in the attic that's been there since before I was here. It's not here anymore. We had sort of a cleanup, and so things were taken out of the attic and out of the basement and down the hall and old furniture that looked kind of nasty, and so that's what that dumpster is out there. And so Steve was kind of the spearhead for that, and he overdid it all week long. And so by Thursday night, he's like, or Friday night, I won't be in tomorrow. But another 10 guys showed up yesterday, and a couple other, couple women were here, and we got a lot done. And so just a word of encouragement. We're trying to move forward, taking care of God's building here, that it could be useful. And so we encourage you to be involved in those kind of things as well as we move forward. So the next testimony is from Randy here. And then following that, Richard, I'm going to ask you to come up and share your testimony. I think that's on. Did I do it? No. Very good.
Good morning. Ooh, check, check, check. So good to see everybody this morning. Good to see Steve Topinac back with us and others as well. This isn't announcements. This is not announcements. I know you guys are used to me here doing announcements, but I'm here to talk about what the Lord's been doing in my life personally. 4 or 5 years ago, I wouldn't even be up here, I don't think. I'm not here to pat myself on the back like it was said. I'm here to give praise to God, the Father, and the glory to Him. As always, we talk about the Bible study that we had just gone to, the promises kept. Just looking through all that, God's got a plan, and he knew it from the beginning. Everything is in order. He just completes everything. Changed my life in the fact that I get up every morning. This is my routine. This doesn't have to be your routine, but I encourage you to get into the Word, get into a Bible study. Everything connects. We are back into Romans. For those that you did the promises kept on Thursday nights, we had a nice group there. We're back to our Romans study. And keep in prayer, what are we going to do next? There's only, I think, two more chapters, 15 and 16, I think. And we'll go from there. But I was just so excited to do this study. I'd get up early in the morning. I'd do my homework, as it were, in Bible study. It amazes me that everything just goes connected. Everything's connected to the Adamic covenant, to David, Abraham, David, Moses, all through. He had a plan for us. He kept his perfect son to die for us. The other thing that taught me was he keeps his side of the covenant, doesn't he? He's always faithful. We're the ones that fall short. But praise God, he made a way for us. We're going to be celebrating the Lord's Communion this morning as well. We did that a couple weeks ago, too, for the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. But the other side of that, his plan is the best for us. There's a lot of things going on in the Westfall family. I'm not going to get into all that now. But we just see his faithfulness through every step of the way. You know, my mom was in surgery. Ron and Chris are having, Chris is having issues now and more issues. And it's just, he is sovereign. He is on the throne. I keep on saying that. Now that I'm retired, there is a men's prayer group that meets every Monday morning. So all these prayer requests, everything gets prayed for. Even though you don't think they are getting prayed for. And that's just a wonderful time. Getting to know God more and more and more. He wants us to do that. He wants us to go deeper and deeper in him. So that's my encouragement to you. There's things coming, and maybe another study. I'm not going to blow that cover. But we need to get into the Word more and more. And, I mean, I've just been so thrilled, so encouraged by the people that are here, the ones that have done all the study. Get into his Word. That's what we need to do. Is that good, Scott?
That's good.
All right.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Richard, come on up. While Richard comes, just want to take a moment. Just heard this week, Bob Ambrose is starting this week on some radiation treatment for prostate cancer. If you just take a seat right there, it would be great. And I want to take a moment to pray for him. And then I also spoke with Greg Colling just a moment ago, who's waiting for testing concerning prostate cancer. And so cancer's nasty stuff, but our God is sovereign over it. So let's pray just a moment. Lord God, we thank you for your great grace and power. We pray that you might bring healing, that you might use the physicians as you see fit, the treatment, the radiation, whatever it is, but that you might bring healing and you might receive glory for it. For Bob's circumstance, for Greg as he waits to even hear whether that's his circumstance or not, we pray that you would strengthen, that you would give them peace and comfort, their families as well, as they wait for news about what it is you're going to do to show yourself faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. This is a brief outline of promises kept, a timeline of biblical history. Five Old Testament covenants and how God fulfilled them. Creation, God creates everything. God creates Adam and Eve, 4,000 plus BC. Fall, humanity disobeyed our Creator and fell into sin. Through all the covenants with God. Redemption, God promised a Redeemer to save his people from their sin. That Redeemer is Jesus Christ. Consummation, to finish, to complete, perfect. Jesus promises to return one day, making all things right. And at the last page of this booklet, you have to write a prayer of praise, thanking God for the ways he has worked in your life. This is my prayer. Dear God, I thank you for your love and mercy. My faith has been restored and strengthened by the Holy Spirit within me. I was lost in my old life, but by your love and mercy and my baptism, I have been renewed. I now live for Christ, the light of the world, Lord of lords, King of kings. I pray for the gift to evangelize and wait patiently on the Holy Spirit so I can bring other sinners to Christ, your servant always and forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Richard. Thank you. You good? For those of you who don't know Richard, he's not a young man. He just came to Christ in this past year. And so from, in effect, rejecting Christ for a long time, just in this past year, he's come to this point. Where are you in your walk? Would you stand here and say, God, I am your servant now and forever? I pray that that's where your heart is. And if it's not, I pray that you'd be open to hear more about what God wants to do in your life. Again, that's two or three more sermons already this morning. As I said, I have one more testimony that was planned ahead of time. It's not necessarily shared in, promises kept. But Brian Toffelmeyer is going to come share. There's some changes in his life of what God is doing, and so I ask him to share with you. Some of you don't know his background, where he's come from, where he's been, and how long he's been in training, if you will. Brian?
Hey, good morning, everybody. That song was powerful, wasn't it? Yeah. That's my life, right? God has been good to me. God has been faithful. He's been so, so good. Since I was a little kid, I wanted my life to have meaning. Even before I was a Christian, I wanted to live a life that was full of purpose and do something significant, right? So that shaped a lot of my decisions in life. For 15 years, I worked with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship as a campus minister. Became a Christian through that ministry my freshman year of college, and I want to see other lives transformed in similar ways. Actually, Jason and I started on campus at UB right around the same time, before he went to China. And Jason's still doing good work on campus. My time at InterVarsity wrapped up, and I was looking for what God had next in my life. And I ended up in construction. So I've been doing construction for 10 years. Went back to school, got a degree in construction management. I went to a couple different companies in that. But part of what drove that was a desire to restore old buildings, give new life to what has become decrepit, and in that, improve whole communities around that. And I've had some opportunity to do that. I got to do that with the Hotel Henry at the Buffalo Old Psych Center. Got to do that with an old bank in North Tonawanda, right there in the river. Took an old bank and made it a new, brand new office building. I got to do that with Torrin Space Theater on the east side of Buffalo. Took an old rundown community center and turned it into a state-of-the-art theater for this group on the east side. But something in me still felt unsatisfied in that. I've had a few unique opportunities, but I spend a lot of time, this is going to sound awful saying this. I don't mean to sound awful. I've spent a lot of time building really nice houses for really rich people, which is a fine thing to do, but has often left me kind of feeling unsatisfied and looking for something a little more meaningful and purposeful. So over the last couple years, I've been kind of just putting feelers out, right? What other opportunities may I have in construction to use with my knowledge and my background that may more significantly, more meaningfully, may feel more purposeful in that? So I started talking to Young Life, which is a youth ministry, about 2 years ago. At the same time, I talked to Samaritan's Purse and reached out to World Vision. I was even stalking the United Nations webpage. And just recently, Young Life offered me a position to work on building their summer, helping to build their summer camps, new dining halls and new facilities and new dorms. And kind of talking with Christy about this decision in our lives, the opportunity was available. Right, and you try to stumble through being obedient to God in whatever ways you think you can, and that's what I've done. At least I've tried to do in my life, stumble through being obedient to God in whatever directions I think he's in. And so while this job has some drawbacks, I'm going to be working remote so a lot more time alone. I'm going to have to travel more for work because the camps I'll be overseeing are in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Missouri, so there'll be a little more travel involved. But I get to build camps that help high school kids hear about God's love, right? Hear the gospel. And that seemed like a valuable choice. So I'm stumbling forward in the next path in my life here. A week from Monday, I'll start with Young Life. And so I invite you to kind of travel with me in that and pray for me in that and pray for my family in that. And I invite you, to, you know, I made this, when I left InterVarsity, it was a big decision. That was probably one of the biggest decisions I made in my career change. Left ministry, went into construction, and I came and made God a promise that when I left, I said, God, you know, when I was leaving, I just resigned from InterVarsity. I didn't know what was next. I just, 6 months, I have no job. Okay. And my wonderful wife just said, go for it, Brian, you know? So I kind of made this promise to God. Look at God, I'll go anywhere and I'll do anything you want as long as you are in it with me and give me the strength to do it. So I'm taking this step forward. I hope it's the right step forward, but I'm trying to be obedient in that. So thank you for your journey with this in me. Amen.
Amen. Just stay for a second. Hey, Eric. I'm going to ask you to pray for Brian as we move on from. I was hoping you'd do that.
This is awesome. Super exciting. Father God, we lift up this man, this family, as they choose to say yes. We pray, Lord God, for clarity as the vision continues to grow, that you give him just an amazing opportunity every step of the way to learn, to grow, to move, and that his children are watching this and saying, that's the man that I'm following. And as he follows Christ, Lord God, let them grow up alongside of him. I pray for Chrissy, Lord God, and as she continues in ministry and work just wherever you may take her as well, I pray, Lord God, that you just continue to use her, to strengthen and to encourage and to lift up Brian. And I pray, Lord God, for the path before them, that it may be fantastic, that it may be exciting, even through the challenges, Lord God, that you would just know that the body of Christ is wrapped around them. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. On from there.
All right, kind of kids, come on. Let's come on up. Come on. Come on. Bring your little guy with you. Yes, yes. Excellent. Great job. Welcome, guys. Do the boys actually outnumber the girls today? I think that deserves a hand. Yeah. That's the first in years right there. All right, very good. All right, so I'm not sure if you guys know, you see that camera up there? See, it's got a little light up at the top. You see it? You see the camera? Is the camera on us right now? Okay. So right now, across the world, in a place called Africa, in a country called Uganda, there is a guy who every week watches with us, and prays with us, and sings with us. And he and his family are there in Uganda, and his name is Robert. So the first thing I want you to do is just, yeah, that's right. No, you're not going to wave at Mama. You're going to wave up here at the camera. Can you guys wave at the camera and say hello to Robert? Hello. Go ahead. 1, 2, 3. That is unbelievable. Like, never mind. Hi, Robert. Robert, the reason I mention Robert is because Robert right now, he has about 100 chickens. That makes a lot of noise, right? He started them out as little tiny chicks that just came out of their eggs. And out of those eggs, and then I was there actually with David, and they had already at that time, they were a few weeks old, and they were probably about this big, and they were kind of all over the place, right? He had some bigger ones that had been around for a bit, but now these guys, these little ones, these little chicks, right? Now, what do you think chicks are good for? Who do you think?
Eggs.
It's exactly the better question, the answer to the question. Because some people would say, like, they're yummy for chicken wings or something like that, right? That's true, too. But what we're talking about today is eggs. That's exactly right. Those little tiny chicks, they grow up into bigger chickens and then into bigger chickens. And the exciting news right now is that Robert's chickens, who this church helped to establish his chicken farm, those chickens are now starting to produce eggs. Isn't that cool? So some eggs you do get to eat, but some of them get set aside very specially, and they start having other chicks. That's pretty cool, right? What do you think happens when the mama chicken sees her little chick pop his head out the egg? Doop. What do you think happens? Yeah. She definitely gets excited. She gets excited. She feeds the baby. She shows the baby how to go to the little watering place and where to peck the right kind of food and all that kind of stuff, right? A mother helps that little chick grow up and be stronger, to thrive, and to have a good life. And then what is that chick going to do? Lay eggs and have more chickies, right? That's the role that we're trying to establish for Robert. If the chicken's a man, he has a part in all that too that your mother's going to tell you about later on. That's right. That's exactly correct. That's a great question. And I think that's a great dinner time question for you to ask today. All right. Very good. Welcome, Michelle. This is now life for you. All right. So, but you're absolutely answering the questions perfectly correct. The chickens have baby chicks, they have eggs, and then those eggs become little chickens, and those chickens grow up to be big chickens. You know what? That's not entirely unlike what we're talking about today as far as the body of Christ, the church. You know what? There are people out here that I would consider chickies that grew up in the ministry here. Not only you guys, because you guys are like still kind of like big chickies. You're big chickies, right? But there's some people out here. I look at Miss Megan out here. Miss Megan, she's a full adult now. She's having little ones. You guys, we're going to see her little boy up here. And not Denny. You guys all know Denny, right? But did you know that Megan grew up here in this church? She's now having little chickies. Denny, and who's the other one? Ellis, right? But she grew up here in this church, and she has an understanding of who God is, partially through this church and then other things that God took her through. But I could look around the room, and I could say, do you know who else was a chickie in this place one time?
You.
That's right. 40 years ago, I was a little chickie here. A big chickie. 10-year-old chickie, right? 12-year-old chickie. I was growing up, and I was learning about God, yes. That's right, and I started to preach at 50, okay. So there are other people around this room, though, without giving all my secrets out, thank you, children, but there are people around this room who have grown up in this ministry who are now overseeing you guys in either your home or in Sunday school, and they don't have to be little tiny people. Sometimes they're big people who have grown up in the church. What about Mr. Richard out there? He just gave a testimony. Is he a chickie? In a way, he is. Even though he's an older man, some of us call him grandpa, right? But even that, he's only been in Christ for about a year, so he's growing, right? But what did you hear him say? He is excited to learn how to produce more people in Christ. That means that he is trying to multiply, trying to produce other chickies underneath him. That's pretty awesome. And that's what we're talking about today. You can go back. Oh, I got some chickies for you guys. As you go back to your, okay. These are absolutely disgusting, but you might like them. Come on up. Come on. This is yours. Take it back. Peeps, maybe somebody out there likes them if you don't like them yourself. Don't eat them in the sanctuary, okay? Make sure you open those up in the car ride home. All right. I've got 5 minutes here just to share with you three verses that have to do with making chicks in the body of Christ and the kingdom of God. A week ago, a bunch of us were part of a discipleship training event that took place down the way here. It was called One-on-One Discipleship. And we had probably about 17 or 18. Scott's going to talk about that a little bit more in a moment. But what I really want to talk about is the scripture that kind of points us towards what our vision statement says. Does anybody know what our vision is here at Amherst Baptist? It is our vision to have thriving, multiplying, joy-filled followers of Jesus Christ continuing to grow, right? Well, there it is. Thriving, multiplying, joy-filled follower of Jesus Christ whose understanding of God is always deepening to the glory of God and to the building of his kingdom. That's what we desire. We desire for little chickies, like what we just saw up here, to grow into a desire for God, to grow up and to become people who share the gospel and see other people walk in Christ. That's really what discipleship is. In fact, there have been several scholars and preachers who have said, don't really call yourself a disciple if you haven't brought somebody up alongside of you in Christ. If you have not been actively involved in showing other people how to follow Jesus, then your discipleship only goes so far. Because we are called as a body. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 19, 18 says, "All authority has been given to me," Jesus says. But go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we have this command. This is called the Great Commission. It is what we are called to as the people of God, that as we have come into Christ, now it is our role in Christ to go, therefore, as you are going, make disciples. How does that happen? We had some time last week in the baptismal tank, right? I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are buried with him in Christ, raised up in newness of life. Not that those are magical words per se, but this is where we get the first part of it. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the whole Trinity there. Teaching them to observe everything I have commanded, Jesus says. And he doesn't leave us nor forsake us, but he's with us to the end. That's the first verse. The second one I would take you to is Philippians chapter 4. And after in some of the earlier verses you're familiar with, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your prayer requests be known to God. After that, verse 8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is pure, whatever is right, whatever is true, set your mind upon these things. And he says, and the peace of Christ will guard and protect you. But then it gets into this, and he says, I rejoiced, this is verse 10. Nope, that's the wrong one. Sorry, that's my fault. I gave you the wrong verse. Do you have another one up there? You have nothing. Okay. So this is the one I'm talking about. It's right after the verse 8 and 9 and 10. Probably it's verse 11. Sorry about that. It says, the things that you have seen and heard in me, do these things. What is it? That's verse 9. This is the way it says it in the Holman's here. Do what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, it's one thing for us to go, therefore, and to preach the gospel. It's another thing for us to be examples of that gospel and to say, you see the way that I'm following Christ? Watch me. Listen to me. Think about the ways that I'm walking in Christ. This is what you should be doing. That's scary, isn't it? As a disciple maker in Christ, you should be able to not point to yourself and say, look how good I'm doing, but point to myself and say, like, listen, I am saved by grace. I am walking by grace. But it's by grace, and I'm in grace. And whatever you see me doing, follow me, because I'm looking straight at Jesus Christ. That's what a discipler does. Looks at your children and says, and this is why I love what Brian's doing. It's why I prayed that way. Because our kids see what we are doing. They see the way we respond. They see the way that we act. And they say, I'm following you. Whether they realize it or not, whether you realize it or not, they're following you. But we as disciples should be able to look at our children and say, see what I do? Hear what I say? Look at the life that I lead? Do these things. Follow these things. And in so doing, we are building up disciples, right? Not just our children, but other people. This is why it's so important for us to have a children's ministry. Whether it's Awana or anything else, whatever it is that God calls us to, it's important for us to take the ones who are younger and to build them up, to know the scriptures and to walk therein. How else will they know if they don't see you do it? How else will they know how to be on mission if you are not on mission? How else will they know how to proclaim the gospel of Christ to friends and neighbors and relatives if they don't hear you doing it? If they don't see you in the word, why would they do it? This is what discipleship is about, to live it out in a practical way that you can say, see, hear, and do. What a shame it is that sometimes it's like, you see all that I do? Don't do that. That's not the way of a believer. The believer says, look at my life, examine it. And as I am in Christ and following hard after it, as I repent from sin, as I mess up and I say I'm sorry to my kids, I'm saying that's what I want you to see. Not the sin, but the repentance and making it right with you. And finally, I take you to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And we spent some time on this last week, but I want you to hear this Paul-Timothy context. Paul is coming to the very end of his life. 2 Timothy might be the very last book that Paul writes. He's been in prison for a while. In chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, he's going to say, my course is run. I have been poured out as a drink offering. This is it. This is probably the last you're going to hear of me. But he says this to Timothy, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, that what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others. The third part that we are talking about is discipleship, is that we instill in good men and in good women and in our children ways that we can see them then reproduce that in others. You see, the multiplication process, one chick growing up to make another chick, to make another chick, the reproduction or the multiplication of that is actually a very serious lack in the church today. And as I close out today, I want you to know that's not God's heart. It is God's heart for us to grow up in Christ, to thrive, yes, but don't forget to multiply. Thrive. Grow, and I think we're pretty good at that. Fellowship and Bible study and all this, that's great. Let's do it. Just keep on doing it. Strengthen it, but don't just keep it to yourself. multiply that out. Be used in the kingdom of God to bring up others as well as yourself in the cause of Christ.
So as Eric said, last week we participated in a, I'll call it a training workshop seminar kind of thing about one-to-one discipleship, or 1v1 is how they called it. We call it one-on-one or life on life. And so we had 17 people here last Saturday, and we had everybody from people who were just believers in the past year, Richard and Igor, to people who have been believers for 50 years or more, to people who have been 30, 40, wherever. It was the whole continuum of folks saying, I understand that one-on-one discipleship, being involved in someone else's life, at least is important enough for me to go to this workshop. And hopefully all of us came away saying, it's more important than that. It's something I really need to be doing. We had men there and women there, and it is something every one of us should be doing in our own obedience to God to make disciples, not just throw scripture out at them or leave a gospel track with your waitress or something like that. Not that those are bad things, but it doesn't carry it forward. Having kids and then letting grow up on their own is not how you raise kids to be good citizens or good anything else for that matter. And so it's a consistent, it's a pouring into, it's a sharing of our lives that we want to talk about. So I expect within that 17, there's a continuum of us going in. There's probably also a continuum of us coming out. Where do we fit into this going forward? And all of you will find yourself on that same continuum. You might be at a place where you say, you know what, I've been a believer for a number of years, and I realize that I could be doing more in terms of pouring into someone else's life. Or maybe you're doing a great job of it, and you need a refresher, or you need a fresh start at it. Or some of you are at a place where you say, you know, I think I understand the gospel, and I understand, but I'm not sure how I would teach someone else. Or you might even be at the point, I'm not even sure I understand it that well, and I need that refresher course. I need to go through this as a learner, as a student, if you will. And so what we're talking about doing, and we're offering this. With the promises kept thing, we said, we're doing this. We're going to do this church-wide, and we want everybody to be involved. And over 90 people took books. I don't know how many of those 90 actually did the homework or studied it. You know, we're trying to make it available to you. At some level, it's still up to you. If you want to do it, you got to do it. You, like I said last week, you get out of it what you put into it. And so in this case, we're saying we would like to stir our hearts as a church to this idea of one-on-one discipleship. What we learned last week was a possible curriculum for it, if you will. Kind of it's 9 foundational stones about what it means to walk with Christ. Let me just read a few of those to you. The assurance of your salvation, that you wouldn't be waffling or wavering. I don't know if Jesus really loves me or not. I don't know if I'm saved or not. Now, let's get that settled so you can move forward in confidence. But then, who is God? The attributes of God. What do we think about the Bible? Where did it come from? And how do I view it? And how do I respond to it? What about prayer? What about living a spirit-filled life? And so forth. These 9 items, I only read a few of them, are in effect the week-to-week curriculum that we would suggest that we work through. But we don't work through it as a church, and we don't work through it individually. We work through it in pairs, if you will. So where are you on that continuum? I'm ready to teach somebody these things, and I'm going to do this with them week by week as we study these 9 things. That might be where you are. You might be at the place where you say, I really need someone to do that in my life. I've got a glimpse of the gospel. I've accepted Christ, but I just don't know what it means week to week, day to day. So I need someone to come alongside me. This idea of Paul raising Timothy and saying, teach others who will teach others. It's not enough, as Eric said, just to share the gospel, but to pour into a life in such a way that they pour into other lives and pour into other lives, chicks after chicks after chicks. So next Sunday after DNA, want to have a gathering for whomever is interested. We'll be down in the old sanctuary. We'll set up tables, and we'll sit and talk about this. I've ordered some books. I don't know that I'll have enough, but I'll make copies of the first couple pages, and we'll look through those first couple pages together. So you get an idea of what it is I'm kind of asking you to sign up for. And you should be in prayer this week whether or not you should be part of it and where you fit in that. Do you know of someone that you would like to put your arm around, so to speak? Men with men, women with women, thank you very much. You'd like to put your arm around and say, let me help you grow. Or are you one who says, I really need someone to do that for me? Is there someone you have in mind? Would you go to them and say, listen, I'm interested in this one-on-one thing. Could you do it with me? Or you might be in the mix, in the middle, and you say, you know what? I really ought to go through this myself before I try to teach somebody or try to lead somebody. And so you pair up with somebody who's in that same boat. So let's do this together so we're familiar with it, and then we would go through it again. This is probably not a one-and-done thing. That in concept, this is, I would do this, say, with Ethan, and then after that, Ethan and I, sometime down the road, would split off and we'd each do someone else, but we'd stay in touch, and Ethan might learn from me how to keep that ball rolling or whatever. Whomever, where do you fit? What would you like to do? Will you come to the meeting next Sunday after DNA? So call it 12:30 in the old sanctuary. We'll go through a couple days worth. You spend this week in prayer, you spend the next week in prayer. Maybe we won't even start doing it until after Easter. The month of March is kind of busy. In your mind, though, I'm going to have someone that I'm going to do this with. It's got daily homework, like the Promises Kept did. Probably 2 pages. What we do next week will probably be like 1 day's worth. So the idea at the beginning, the first week you meet with a person, you actually do the study with them, this assurance of salvation, you do it with them. But from then on, it's you do the study on your own and you get together to answer questions. So you're not doing the whole study together. You're helping them learn. Now, if you're in one of those situations where you're trying to sharpen one another, then maybe you do the whole study together. But after you've already done it on your own, so you're teaching yourself, you're developing in your own life a heart for Scripture, a hunger for Scripture, and rhythms in your life that say, I start every day, or I finish every day, or I spend every lunch in the Word. Everybody's going to be different. There's a continuum. I get that. We're not asking you to all be just like me. That wouldn't be a good thing. We're asking you to be whom God has made you to be, called you to be, equipped you to be, and wants to equip you further to serve Him, to bring Him glory as part of a unified body. Now, generally, I would ask for questions, but this isn't just the right place for that. So save those questions, write them down, email them to me, or to Pastor Eric. Again, he leaves next Friday, so we won't be here on Sunday. But we've talked about this. It's an opportunity for us. The curriculum is not the answer to everything, but it's a starting point. It's a foundation. It's something to wrap your hands around and say, I can start here. I've looked through some of it. It's stuff you've seen before. If you've been a Christian for a number of years, you've seen the diagram of Jesus on the throne versus you on the throne. If you've been a Christian for a time, you've seen the little train, facts, faith, and feeling. This is not all brand new. In fact, some of the stuff was written back in 1984 or something like that. You might be familiar with it, but are you familiar enough with it to use it to speak into somebody else's life? So that's the challenge. That's the encouragement. I've been very encouraged by the Promises Kept Bible study. I learned from it. I strengthened my daily routine of being in the Word, being in prayer. You can do that too. And this is the next step that we're offering, I'll say, as a church. Say, let's look at one-on-one discipleship. So I encourage you to be in prayer about it, certainly. But if you'd come next week and talk about it, and you might come away saying, you know, that's not for me. I would encourage you, number one, to rethink that, because I think it is for all of us, because that's what God's called us to. But this particular theme, this particular book, maybe that's not for you. But be in prayer about it. As a church, what has God called us to? Rihanna, if you'd lead us in another song as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. We do want to share the Lord's Supper. As we talked 2 weeks ago with the New Covenant, we shared the Lord's Supper just then. But normally on our schedule, so to speak, the first week of every month, we do share the Lord's Supper. Nick and Vitani and Lydia, thanks for coming today. We appreciate that. This is the Tamil church that met in our old sanctuary for several months. And so they join us when we do the Lord's Supper on occasion. And so they're here with us this morning. So as we sing, submit your heart. God, what do you want me to do? Is this something you're calling me to? It feels like a lot. It might be a lot. But what does God have the right to call you to? A lot. Let's praise. Let's worship.
Read this out of the book of Hebrews. We visited here a couple weeks back, and we were talking about the new covenant of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31. This is in Hebrews. It's a reiteration of that. When it's talking about Jesus as the great high priest, the one who satisfied all the covenants and satisfied everything that was necessary. And as we go into our time of the Lord's Supper, I want us to meditate upon this. This is the covenant that I will make with them. And in today, we could say, He has made with us. After these days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their heart, and I will write them on their minds. I will never again remember their sins and the lawless acts. And Father God, today, as we consider you, we thank you that in you all has been accomplished. That what we celebrate here today, ultimately, we love testimonies and that, but we celebrate you, our once come and coming King. We celebrate you, the Lord of Lords, who has given himself for us in place of our sins, Lord God. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and we commemorate you today. Lord God, as we consider the seriousness of this moment and this ordinance, this command that you've given to us to remember you often, Lord God, I pray that you would melt our hearts for the things of God, for the law that you have set within our hearts, Lord God, and in our minds. We thank you, Lord, for the new covenant that is brought forth. I pray this in your name. Amen. As these are handed out, why don't you just hold on to them, and we'll celebrate this together once you have it in your hand. The Bible tells us that on the night that Jesus was going to be crucified, he's there with his disciples up in the upper room, and he has one last opportunity to feed into them, right? Jesus, for 3.5 years, had just been pouring his life into his disciples, bringing them up, helping them to thrive as best as possible, filling them, teaching them, commanding them. And now is time for him to demonstrate in very real terms what it was that he was actually there for. And it says that on that night that he was going to be crucified, he stops and he takes at that dinner and he breaks some bread. And he lifts it up and he blesses it. And he says, "This is the body that is broken for you, that is torn up, is given for you." And what he's talking about, in just a few hours, his body was going to be splayed out there on the cross, and it was going to be a symbol for all ages that the perfect Lamb of God, we know his body was not broken physically, but we know that he was a broken man, and he was splayed out there, the perfect Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. Father God, we thank you that you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the example to us, to point us to you, Father God, and ultimately to give his body as sacrifice on the altar of love on our account. Take and eat it all, remembering him. Later on in that same evening, a cup was passed, and as he took the cup, he also offered up to the Father thanks for it. And he says this, he says, "This is the blood that will be poured out for the forgiveness of your sin. In Hebrews, the very chapter that we were just reading, chapter 9, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And it could only be done haphazardly, if you will, partially by the blood of a lamb. But it could be done completely, perfectly, and wholly by the Holy Lamb of God. And so we thank you, Jesus Christ, Holy Lamb of God, perfect, unblemished in every way, that today we remember you and that excruciating pain that you bore on our account, and for the blood that poured out of your veins, so that we may be sinless and pure before the sight of God, our righteous judge. Glory to your name, and thank you for your salvation. Take and drink all of it. So, Father God, we thank you for your coming. We remember you here in this place. You're the only reason that we gather to worship you, to remember you, and yes, to remember that you are coming through the clouds to take your church away. For we are not just to remember what is past, but to remember what you have written, that you will come again. So we anticipate, we look to the sky, and we say, come, Lord Jesus. Purify your church. Use us. Make us to be disciples of men, we pray. Multiply your kingdom through us, whether that's right here in this little church or in a bigger way across the seas, using people like Kayla and others, Lord God, to proclaim your great grace to the multitudes. Glorify yourself in us, we pray. Amen.